This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Proud to Play, who provide safe spaces that are free from homophobia and transphobia so that same-sex attracted and gender-diverse young people can play sport, have called out recent homophobia and transphobia in Australian sport after Rugby Australia's public response to Israel Folau's comments on social media. Dean Arcuri reports.
We are disappointed that Israel Folau has not been appropriately disciplined as of yet, and we encourage Rugby Australia and the Waratahs to deal with this issue accordingly, Proud to Play said in a statement this morning. I spoke to Proud to Play co-founder and director Ryan Storr about this statement, in which they say that they understand and respect that social media use and policy around athletes is complex, but it should not mean that athletes are allowed to use their platform and position of power to incite hatred and condemnation towards a section of society.
We've been monitoring the situation in terms of what was said from originally and how, first of all, whether he was going to get reprimanded, or whether they were going to give him a ban, and just couching some of the other responses. But one of the things that we really realised with a couple of opinion pieces, statements, etc., is that it comes down to the impact it has on young people, and obviously that's where our work is. And when comments come from 4,000 people with a platform to use their privilege and abuse it, it has detrimental impacts on young people, regardless of whether in sport, but more so around sport, because they're thinking sports stars are obviously in positions of power. One of the things that really highlights is that these things keep happening and sport is a common factor. So we had Margaret Court talking recently, obviously linked to religion as well, Israel Folau. There's been a couple of other instances. Last year they had the Western Sydney Wanderers support group had a homophobic banner. These things keep happening in sport and it's not a coincidence. Sport often is quite immune to some of these wider influences around repercussions. If you walked into your workplace and started saying things around Jewish people or disabled people, you'd be turfed into the HRF as disciplined and there'd be appropriate action. Within sport, it often goes, people might do a press conference like the one that Raylene Castle did. They didn't really kind of say anything around, we're going to do something and that this is kind of negative. They said, oh, we have a policy of inclusion. We think it's good that Israel can stand up and fight for what he believes in. Like, that's just not good enough. They need to be given appropriate actions and saying that you can't go around using this platform for negative implications. And the link is strong between, so for example, however many thousand Instagram followers are followers you have on Twitter and other social media accounts, a lot of them might be young teenage boys who look up to him. Teenage boys are the main perpetrators of anti-LGBT violence, and this has been shown in America, the UK and Australia. So by these teenage boys hearing one of their idols, one of the biggest names in rugby, saying comments like that, that gives them free rein and emboldens them to go and enact more anti-LGBT discrimination and violence. It's a big circle, and these arguments around free speech saying that people should be allowed to say what they want. If people were going around saying what they wanted, people would be saying all sorts. And we've seen over the years that there's been more progress around hate speech and anti-vilification and things like that. Like the AFL have strong policies around that. But again, when LGBT issues come up, it's not dealt with in the same way.
In their statement, Proud to Play says that if Rugby Australia, as a founding member and signatory of the Pride in Sport Index, are committed to inclusion and diversity, then they need to demonstrate it with clear action. Do we feel that these are conversations which could be happening behind closed doors, or do we need to see more transparency?
The problem is the conversations behind the scenes aren't happening. It's all very reactive. The problem why I think these things are happening, and like when you see the press conference and not really much being said and actions, is because Australian sporting organisations are not very good at LGBTI diversity. So a clear example of a measure and an indicator, last year the Pride in Sport Index, which is a national benchmarking for LGBTI inclusion in sport, had its first inaugural year. They ranged from 3 to 36 out of 100. That shows Australian sporting organisations are not doing LGBTI diversity well. 36 was the top score by the AFL, and if you think about their lack of action, like around the marriage equality, they put a sign up, took it down the next day when they got threat. Hannah Mounsey, that was an absolute fiasco. So these conversations aren't happening. There's no real commitment to LGBTI diversity within these organisations, and it kind of just shows, because one of the, a clear example again was they mentioned, I know other sports are looking to us to see how we deal with it. It's also reactive. It's like when AFL had a trans player, Hannah Mounsey, people were looking for that. It's all just as and when, instead of actually having things in place and having proactive steps to engage with it. So if something was to happen or someone says stuff, like you have a social media policy, have things in line. Rugby Australia gave a player a ban and a fine of $20,000 for using a homophobic slur 2 years ago. In the UK, they gave a four-match ban for someone using a homophobic slur. So when these things happen, nothing's being done around them.
This week, with Laurel Hubbard competing in the Commonwealth Games and having that validity contested because she's a transgender woman, we've seen uninformed and unresearched articles in the mainstream media, and this information creates a greater space for transphobia.
First of all, there's a lack of education and understanding. I've got a PhD in diversity in sport. It's not necessarily in sex testing, hyperandrogenism or trans issues. However, I'm pretty over those issues. It's really interesting reading pieces and hearing information from people who have absolutely no idea or any type of knowledge around the area. It's detrimental because then often they're using it to clickbait and to just get articles and to get people talking. And it often comes down to, is a transgender female athlete a woman or not? That's what it is at the end of the day. So it was really interesting contrast, for example, with the union's response with the Commonwealth Games. Commonwealth Games are very clear, and the chief executive said, Laurel fits all the criteria, she's done everything she can, we're promoting inclusion within these games and we support her participation. Shut any of the comments down, was very proactive and provided her with ongoing support also in terms of any social media abuse or people wanting articles, etc. So it is a new and developing space, but again, there's just so much misinformation around it and what actually happens to athletes. So often they're writing these pieces around an assumption that female XY athletes who have transitioned or part of transitioning process have an advantage. But they're writing about it as if they're still men. They're not men, they are women, and they have undergone a very, very strict and certain set of procedures where they lose bone density, they have to have certain, reduce the testosterone levels, they go through, often many of them go through the menopause. Like, there's so many drastic changes that basically bring them down so many levels to then compete. So then for an athlete like Laurel to go through all of that and then to still be able to actually compete in elite level is actually remarkable. And that should be rewarded, not challenged and given hate speech.
Proud to Play have worked hard to elevate these conversations on an elite sporting level. But is there anything we can do to make sure these changes happen in our sporting codes?
Often we can get caught up talking about bad things and negative things that happen, which have been going on. You can't deny that. So exclusion and discrimination happens. But there's also a lot of inclusion going on. So, for example, we partnered with Cricket Victoria the other day to have a Pride Cricket Day, and we've been doing a lot of work in that space. Jason Ball's doing his work around the Pride Cup. Andrew Green with stand-up events. There's lots of things actually going on, but they're all at the grassroots level, and they're all done voluntarily by the diversity champion. So there's a lot going on at the bottom, but there is nothing going on at the top. So when things at the top start to happen, and when there's these institutional commitments to LGBTI diversity, the policy funding, for example, and they actively try and get and engage LGBTI Australians to play and engage with sport, that's when we'll see change. But until that happens at the top level and led by, for example, the Australian Sport Commission, nothing's going to happen. We're just going to have all these efforts at the grassroots, but then they're going to stop at a certain level and they're not going to go anywhere. So for culture change to happen, it needs to be understood that there is a problem around this. There is a problem with homophobia and transphobia in sport. There's no denying that. The research shows that. However, sports aren't doing anything about it. And a good indication is the Pride in Sport Index is a really great thing. They're doing fantastic work. But when they're only getting 3 of 36 out of 100, like, surely that should be some indication that they need to improve and they need to get better. We need to start looking to our national sport organisations to actually start doing things.
That was DNR Curie reporting with Proud to Play co-founder and director Ryan Storr.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.